All right. It's good to be saved. June 1982. Seventh Throwback Bible Baptist Church, Pensacola, Florida. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Amen. Good to see our esteemed colleague, Brother Gary Luttrick, back yonder.
Amen.
Late as usual.
Yep.
Wouldn't be Brother Gary if he didn't come slumbering in late. Amen. But this has been a good place to be this week. I believe I've been coming here, the August meeting. I've only missed one August meeting probably in the last 24 or 25 years. And it's a blessing always to come here. And you folks are like family to me. Amen. And there's other folks that's come in from Pennsylvania. Do y'all know there's saved people in Pennsylvania? Amen. But it's always good to see folks. Kurt and April here, I always stay with them and their weird children. Amen. But it's a good, amen. Brother Job and Miss Angel and Barnabas. And it's just a blessing. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse number 15. Familiar passage in the Bible. Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty plain right there. Amen. This world has a pull. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. God has a pull, too. Amen. If you do get away and get out in the world, you have to walk over that pull. Amen. You got to jaywalk across. Amen. People's hearts. Amen. And the Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. And brethren, it is. Amen. Common sense is passing away. Somebody explain to me how Nancy Pelosi ever got elected to begin with. Amen. Common sense is passing away. Amen. You say, well, you oughtn't mix politics in this. Man, there's a bunch of nuts in Washington, and we're not far from there. Amen. The Bible said, the world passeth away and the lust thereof. And here's what I want to preach about. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So I'm going to preach a little while tonight on he that doeth the will of God. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, God, for the week and, Lord, the good preaching, the preaching tonight and the singing. God, I pray you'll help us, Lord. As we open this book, we're totally dependent upon thee. God, the supernatural transaction that takes place through preaching, that God, by the Spirit of God, you'll touch every heart. God, the homes that are represented here, the churches and ministries, God, the young folk alike, I pray, Lord, you'll do something here in our midst. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to preach about one of the dearest things to me. That's the will of God. And if you're saved, that ought to be something in your life. You ought to be desiring to be in God's will.
Amen.
Dr. Ruckman used to say something to all of us, and he was always real gentle about it when he said anything to us. Amen, along with calling us stupid and dummy and everything else. Amen. But he used to say this, and I never really fully understood it till I got out and tried to do the will of God. And that's this. See, he said, blessed is the man that finds the will of God in his life and has guts enough to do it.
Amen.
Buddy, that's the truth. Because I've been around a lot of folks that they know what the will of God is, but they don't have guts enough to do it. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The will of God will either make you or it'll break you. Amen. I'm here tonight because men and women and folks followed God's will. Amen. I've been inspired by people that have followed the will of God. Amen. And it is attainable. You can live in God's will. Somebody said, well, it's hard to follow. I don't think it is. I don't think it's hard to know what God's will is. Amen. He's the best father there is.
Yeah.
I never, amen, tried to figure out what my dad's will was when I was growing up.
Amen.
It wasn't hard to see.
Amen.
Anybody else have a dad like that? My dad, you say, I will never mow the yard. That's why I had you boys.
Amen.
Amen. And his will was easy to follow, was easy to know. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're miserable sitting here tonight, it's because you're out of God's will. God's will is the best thing to going. I always say, I tell people all the time, I've probably said it 1,000 times, when you're going through hard times, when the devil's beating you up and the world and the flesh and everything else, the will of God will sustain you.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Doing what God wants you to do and being in his will sustain you.
Yes.
Brother Earl Hughes, he was our prophet, I guess. He was our seer.
Yeah.
Amen. We call him Earl's Pearls. And Brother Earl had some things he come up with, just old mountain theology, I reckon. But he would say this. He'd say, depression. Depression. Depression is anger with no enthusiasm. Man. He'd say, worry. People worry. Worry. He said, worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. Says it gives you something to do, but you don't never go nowhere.
Amen.
And you know what Brother Earl said about the will of God? He said this. He said, it's hard for the Lord, our lovely Lord, to agree with me when I'm out of his will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something here tonight. If you're out of God's will, it's hard for anybody to agree with you. Amen. God's will is wonderful.
Amen.
It rescued me.
Yeah.
Amen. It's the best life there is.
Yeah. Right.
He that doeth the will of God. Let me say here, number one, that he that doeth the will of God must believe that God is.
Amen.
Amen. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I was in Oklahoma last year, and I got a phone call at the motel where I was in revival meeting there, and this guy got on the phone. He said, I don't know if you remember me. He said, I'm from Montana and such and such church, Victory Baptist Church. And I said, yeah, I remember you, brother. He said, I called you to tell you. He said, pastor's on his deathbed. He said, they've called in hospice. And my buddy there, Brother Stan Martin, was 47 years old, and he had leukemia and all that, and I didn't even know he was sick. And I said, no, man, why in the world? And he said, well, the reason I got a hold of your number, Brother Martin, called you, because we was going through his paperwork and stuff, and he got in there, wrote down on a piece of paper he wanted you to preach his funeral. And I'm like, man alive. So I went to church that night and came back, and about 11:30 again, the phone rang, and I answered, and the same guy. And he's crying. He said, Brother Martin, preacher's gone. And, man, my buddy died, and the reason he wanted me to preach his funeral, because a few years back out in California, in Los Angeles, California, he came to a youth revival there at Brother Dave Gilbert's church. And he came to that youth revival, and during one of the messages, he came forward during the invitation, and the old boy was a power lifter. He was huge, man. He was a big old guy. He could bench press about 650 pounds at one time. And he had a glass eye, and he was in one of them lifting competitions one time, and he's, and his eye popped out. And they said the referee that was standing there looking over everything, seeing that, and he went, and all the rest of them weightlifters go, cool. Can you do that anytime you want to? But old Brother Stan, during that invitation, he went down the altar. Man, he was down there boo-hooing, and you could see that big old wide back shaking, and he's crying. And his pastor looked over and pointed at me like that. And I went down there and put my arm around that big boy. And I said, what's going on, big boy? But he's crying, snot coming out of his nose. And he looks over at me and he goes, I want to live for God. I want to do God's will. I want to live for God. And he'd been saved about 3 months. And you know what that old boy did? He lived for God.
Amen.
He got in. I just wonder here tonight, have you, has ever been a time in your life you did that? Amen. Some of you guys sitting in here that never say amen, never.
Yeah,
we don't know if you're alive. Somebody check your pulse.
Yeah,
has there ever been a time where somewhere in your life you did that?
Yeah,
Has God ever been that big? Has God ever swept across your heartstrings to where you want, oh, man, I want to live for you, Lord. Amen. I'm wrong. You're right. That's what that old boy did. And you know what God did? God took him. Amen. He used him. He got in the youth department in his church and became the youth leader and all that. And before long, God called him to preach. And I got to go out there and preach his ordination and all that. And me and him, buddy, we hooked up. We was buddies. You know what put us together? The will of God. Amen. Amen. And old brother Stan, I went out there and preached his funeral. And the old boy lived for God. He died right. Amen. They pulled down the screen and showed from the starting a little, he took that little church and all that and his family, and God gave him a little wife and kids. And boy, one of the pictures they showed there was him standing there with his little girl, and she was standing on his feet. And he's walking with her on his feet. Man, that tore me up. And I watched him, and I thought to myself, how in the world could we sit here and watch all that and have any kind of song like the preacher's talking about if the old boy hadn't lived for God? And a little bit after that, me and the wife went down to Florida, and I was at my cousin Jim's church, and Brother Ron Sutek walked up to me, and he told me about a friend of mine that I went to Bible school with. And he said, Brother Mark, said, I don't know if you know this or not, but Bill is dying. And I said, what? He said, yeah, he's got cancer. He said, he's a mess, and he's dying. And I go, oh, man, this is a guy I went to Bible school with. He said, it's more than that. Said he's out of God's will, and he's bitter, and he's mad at everybody, and he's out of church. And I'm going, oh, no. I mean, this wasn't guy, just wasn't a guy I went to Bible school with. We fished together and hunted together. Amen. After Bible school at night, we go pull the net that Brother Jim left me. We had a 300-foot gill net he gave me. We go pull that net and fish. Man, we was tight. And he's out of God's will. So I looked up his... tried to find where he was, and his own family didn't even want me to go see him. But I ended up finding him. I went anyhow. He said, why? Because 300 and something pounds has his advantages.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. Along with a no-care attitude. Yeah. Amen. That'll get you some places. So I went, and they were living in a little apartment up above a garage. And I knocked at the door, and his wife came to the door, and she seen me and started crying. And I said, where's he at? And she said, he's in there in the bed, Brother Mark. And she said, prepare yourself. And I walked in there in the bed, and there laid my buddy laying. And his arm was all swelled up. He had cancer all through his body. It was in his face, in his head. The one eye was whited over. And I seen him, man, and I walked over there. And I went to go hug him, Brother Allen. And he looks up at me, and he's crying out of that one eye that could still have tears. And he says, whoo, something I'll never forget. He said, be careful, I'm frail. And man, I leaned down there and hugged him. And I said, Bill, they tell me you ain't going to make it, buddy. He says, no, I ain't going to make it. I said, you ain't got long, do you? And no, and we talking, and somebody had sent me a picture on my phone of our graduating class at PBI 1986. And I showed him that. I said, you remember that, buddy? He goes, I remember that. I called a couple people on the phone. I called Dave Gilbert. I handed him the phone. Dave talked to him. And I heard Dave on the phone saying, I love you, buddy. Old Bill said, I love you too. And I leaned down over his bed there, and I said, Bill, I said, tell me something, buddy. I said, what's the Lord doing? Amen. Talking about that dying grace, you know, and all that. I said, what's the Lord doing? He looked over me with that one eye, the tear running down, and he said this. He goes, he ain't been by. I'm going to tell you, I had chills go up and down my back. Now, let me ask you something. Which way you want to go out? Which way you want to die? Old Brother Stan Martin, he died early, sure did, tragedy and all that, but you know where he died? He left this old world out of God's will. How do you want to leave this old world? Amen. Do you want to go singing? Or do you want to leave out here kicking and screaming?
Yeah, come on now.
Amen. With no God, no Spirit of God moving.
Go, preacher. Amen.
Hey, he that doeth the will of God must believe that he is.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. He is God. He is the best thing that ever happened to us.
Yes.
He did rescue our lives.
Yeah.
Amen. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to give you life to. He'll take the sorriest among us and make princes out of you. Man, I'm here tonight because men have taken the word of God and stood behind the sacred desk and rang the bells of heaven. Say, who were they? They were heroin addicts and dope fiends and drunks that God reached down and pulled them out of the muck and mire.
Amen.
You know what they did? They had enough about them to follow God. They had enough about them to say, God, I'll live for you no matter what.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we're here. If we don't do God's will, where in the world's the next generation going to get anything like this? Buddy, I remember starting this meeting out, the August meeting, 25 years ago. I remember how God used to move around, stir around in here. Amen. 1 year, I had 36, 37 people saved in 1 week. And I remember if you came in here backslid, you stuck out like a sore thumb. Now if you come in here on fire for God, you stick out like a sore thumb.
Come on.
He that believeth, he that doeth the will of God must believe that he is. Brother Jim had an old boy in his church there, and the old boy, he didn't have a whole lot going for him, but he had a good wife. It's like a bunch of us. And old Brother Wendell, I don't know how he swung it, but he got to be over the youth department. And Brother Jim's church, that's saying something. Say, why? Because if you know anything about our Urbana Baptist Church, Brother Jim Chandler, you know that that church was built on old-fashioned, old-time revival. And God used his teenagers and stuff, and I've never seen anything like it in my life. And God swept through there, and that old boy was over the youth department. And he had started going to a couple camp meetings and, amen, hearing everybody preach on all this wild stuff and all that. And he got a wildness in him. And he told me one day, he says, man, Brother Mark, I just feel like I need to be doing something else. And I go, what? I said, you got a youth department, stupid, that's bigger than most of the churches I preach at. Amen. And I said, let me ask you something, Wendell. I said, right now, are you in God's will? He's him hauling around. I said, no, are you in God's will right now? And he goes, well, yeah. I said, well, why in the world are you trying to get out of it? And you know what he did? He pushed and pushed till he got out of it. And he blew it. Lost his wife, lost probably everything else he had. So what did he do? He stepped out of God's will. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I was telling somebody, I was talking to Brother Barb before the service, and this is one of the little things I say. I don't know. I believe this. People want to have the Spirit of God on them. They want to have the hand of God on them. Don't you?
Amen.
And I do. Amen. And I've had people pray for me. I had young men ask me to pray for them about being filled with the Spirit of God. And I always say this. Why would God fill you if you're not in his will? Amen. I mean, anybody can preach. Sermons are a dime a dozen. Anybody can get up here and rip, chip, and flip and do cartwheels and all that and be a dynamic speaker. Anybody can do that. But it's a life that somebody that does the will of God to where God can put his hand on you. Amen. And why would he do it? Out of his will. Amen. I had a young man ask me to pray for him one time, wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I looked at him, I said, well, don't you think you ought to quit smoking first? Don't you reckon you ought to do that?
Amen.
Brother Farley had a guy asked him to pray for him like that one time. Brother Farley looked over at him and said, don't you think you ought to get rid of your pornography first?
Amen.
He that doeth the will of God must believe that he is. Amen. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you diligently seek God, people will know it around you. Amen. Before I was saved, we were all a mess. Brothers talking about being drunk and all that. All of us, God rescued us. Thank God some of you young folks that raised in church. Thank God for you're my heroes. But man alive, folks, if God can call somebody like us and use us, it's a miracle. But you get in God's will, God will do something with you. Amen. And I'll tell you you know what, something that does offend me is some of you guys that are raised in church have been around this all your life and you sit there with a no care attitude. That messes with me. Amen. They could be singing and running, shouting, and you're just sitting there like a bump on a log. You spoiled fink. Rat fink. Amen. What in the world? I know this. You can sit right here and be a member of this church and be out of the will of God. Amen. I'll tell you what else. He that doeth the will of God. The Bible is your book. Brother Danny Hall, I can't help but every time we get it, I think about him all the time. I got pictures of him in front of my Bible. And I remember he used to tell Dee Dee, he says, Dee Dee, where's my Bible book? Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you want to know any kind of secret that anybody here, this is it. Amen. It's the book. The old man, you say, it's the book, man. It's the book, man. Check it out, man. Don't take my word for it. Check it out. Read it yourself, stupid. Oh, yeah, man. Got as much sense as a brass monkey. Oh, yeah. Amen. When I got saved, I never read a book. I never read a book in my life till I read the King James Bible. Never did anything through high school. I was not a scholar. I had my ninth grade report card, my final report card. I had 15 F's on my final report card. I went 1 year. I think I skipped 80 days of school. That's never good. Never a real help. And when I got to Bible school and we took the English test, I wish I would have took something in school. God bless Miss Meacham. 4 hours on Friday night. Purgatory. She told me one time, she goes, Brother, Mr. McGahee, you have one of the worst uses of the English language of anyone I've ever heard. God bless you, Miss Meacham. Amen. But this book, I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for the book. Amen. This book, I'm telling you, it'll sustain you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you can see it. You can see it in people's faces. You read this book, it'll make you different. Amen. We are raised in a generation of Christians now that don't read their Bible. He that doeth the will of God, this Bible is your book. Amen. And just the way you carry it and hold it. Amen. I've been in places before where I've had to sleep with it. Amen. I got in a place one night and church was real. A lot of stuff had happened. The former pastor messed up bad. And there was such a bad spirit in that church, they would play Alexander Scorby in every room in the church. And it was known around there. The booger man lived there. Well, Brother Mark comes in for five. Well, guess where Brother Mark stays? I can hear the Bible playing in rooms, and I'm staying in a little prophet's chamber. But in one night, in the middle of the night, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I sit up in my bed, and I went, you could see your breath in my room. And I heard this voice go, who are you? I go, I ain't nobody. I said, but I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm washed in the blood. Thank God for the blood. And whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And I grabbed my Bible and held it there. Man, I was like, and after a while I went, you couldn't see your breath no more. And it left out of there. And buddy, my Bible did not depart from me very far. If I got in another part of the house or something, I'd look to see. I didn't want to get too far away from it. Amen. Some of y'all got so far away from it, the booger man now lives in your room. Amen. You got a weird room. You are who you are when you're by yourself in your room. That's you. Amen. I stay in all kind of places. Being an evangelist, I've stayed in all kind of places. They'll put me in some boy's room, you know, and, Brother Mark, we're going to let you stay in our son's room. I went, okay. I go in there, and, man, there's stuff moved. You can see where stuff was and stuff on the wall. They've took it down because I'm going to be there. I go in there, man, there's a bad spirit. I sit on the edge of the bed like, I don't know what to touch. I don't know what he's wiped boogers on or whatever. Hey, man, it's a weird place. Let me ask some of y'all something. God ever meet with you in your room? Amen. This book is alive. You can't tell me you're in God's will and this book ain't special to you. You might get away from it for a while, but I'm going to tell you, you won't be happy about it. I tell people all the time, I'm not a real spiritual man. I said the two hardest things I've ever had to do in my Christian life up until the day I'm standing here right now is to keep my Bible reading and my prayer life where it ought to be. But you know what pushes me in that is the will of God. I want to be in God's will. I've seen too many people get out of God's will. I see what happens to them. Amen. I've had friends of mine get out of God's will. I've had preachers that I looked up to as some of my heroes that have got out of God's will. And I am a frightened child in the sight of it. Amen. You all respect us and look up to us. And we appreciate that in a weird way. We really do. But we're nothing. You're looking, these preachers sitting in here, you're looking at the bottom of the barrel. God chose the base things of this world to confound the wise. And buddy, I'm telling you, if you're a preacher sitting here and you start taking that esteem and that honor that people gives you and it starts going to your little pea brain, amen, you do have as much sense as a brass monkey. Amen. And I'm going to tell you the reason why Brother Stocker and Brother Chandler and Brother Allen and Brother Gary and any of these men, amen, Brother Meyer, if any of these guys get up and God use them, and he does, you know what it is? The will of God.
Amen.
They followed him.
Amen.
Amen. And I love to be around God's men. I love to be around the people of God. And those folks that have followed and do the will of God have changed my life. I remember Brother Gary and we went to Shady Acres one year back in the old church, the old white frame church. And we went there going to camp and all that. And Dee stayed with Mrs. Sides. And she stayed with her, and Dee, she told me later, she goes, I stayed in a home where God was. And that's the lady in the church that had the reputation, she had an old guy coming here, breaking her house one night, and was going to rob her, and coming here, when she's laid in the bed, old woman there, and he's going to bust her upside the head. And she looks up, and she goes, young man, you ever been saved by the grace of God? Dropped the run out and said he stopped on his way out and stopped by the phone and got her number off her phone. And a few minutes later, the phone rang and she answered and he says, ma'am, are you okay?
Yeah.
Amen. I remember Brother Jack standing up in church and said, all right, how many of you folks are in here because Sister Sides got a hold of you and brought you cookies or soup down there in the ghetto and led you to Christ. Man, people started popping up. Say, what was that? It was one old woman that followed God's will. Amen. The will of God will sustain you. I'll tell you what else. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what else. To do the will of God, this is a deep point right here. Most of my messages, you can take your thinking cap off and put it under your pew. But here's one. He that doeth the will of God must do it. Isn't that a good one?
Yeah.
Amen. You want to do God's will? Start doing it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I always tell people, they say, well, I don't like the way he preaches. I don't like, I make myself mad sometimes preaching. Amen. You think you like to get up here and call people names and stuff? Well, sometimes I do. Wait a minute. Amen. But you become a doer of the work. I tell people, I like the way I'm doing it better than the way you ain't. Amen. There's Job sitting back there. I can't help but pick on him and Barnabas. Job and Barnabas were church nerds. And the only reason I'm saying that, because they've said the testimony many times, and they sat there, and they was quiet, just like some of you kids. I used to get on to them. We'd go to there with Brother Hoods, and Brother Jimmy Hoods at the mission there in the church in the Bottoms. It was no holds barred. But we preached against everything. And I'd look down there, and I said, some of you church nerds sitting here, you ain't never said amen in your life, have you? They just... And they get mad and aggravated at me, but here they are, two church nerds that got in God's will.
Amen.
And Brother Hood thought enough about him to leave that work to him and turn it over to him.
Amen.
Amen. Old Job's down there, buddy, trying to do a job. They said one day there, he was arguing with one of them street bums down there and threw coffee at him and threw coffee on him. So the next thing Job had him was outside beating him up. Said, what'd you think of that? I went, yes. Amen. Doing the will of God's exciting. You never know what's going to happen. Amen. Ain't you tired of a dull life? Man, get in the will of God. Amen. Become a doer of the word. Doer. I remember when me and Dee got in church, I got saved, and Dee got right, and we was in church there, and Dr. Upman come to me one time there, and he said, Brother McGahee, he said, we're going to camp. He said, would y'all like to be counselors? And I'm like, what is that? I had no idea. I didn't know what it was. He goes, well, man, you go help out some adults. You go and help these teenagers to go to camp. We'll go to Pot of Gold, Texas. And I went, all right. So I remember Sam Reed came over to me. He was a youth leader and all that at that time, and he come over to me, and he says, Brother Mark, I heard preacher wants you to go to camp with us. And he kind of hemmed all around. He goes, if you go, you got to get your hair cut. I'm like, all right, I could do that. I look like a nerd like everybody else. So I went to camp with him. And about the first night there in the dorms, one of the teenagers smarted off. Well, I jumped up, grabbed him, threw him down on the ground. I was like that. And Sam Reed, no, no, Mark, no. And I go, well, what in the world am I here for? No, no. You say, well, why did Doc take somebody like that to camp? I'll tell you why. Because I got around all that preaching and God moving around, and he figured if I went that I'd get burnt. And you know what I did? I got burnt. I remember going to the first camp meeting we ever went to, and Brother Allen says, hey, man, come on, we're going to camp meeting. I said, what's that?
Just go with us, going to North Carolina.
Does that sound like him? A little bit. I like the way I'm doing it. The better way you don't. Pay no attention. Pay no attention to the man from Texas. But Alan, he talks into going to camp, and we took a tent. Yeah, I'm ignoring you now. You're done. I'm done with you, okay? But we took a pup tent and stayed in it. And Alan, he wake me up every morning. Hey, wake up, fat boy. But I got around that camp and the camp meeting, and man, it was overwhelming. Amen. And you know what I figured? It wasn't took me long. I don't have what these folks have got, but I want it. Amen. And I'll tell you what, last of all here, the do the will of God, the benefits are out of this world. Amen. The benefits are out of this world. If you've ever had the Holy Spirit of God ever sweep across your heartstrings and do anything for you, you'll never get over it.
Amen.
It's better felt than told.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I'll close with this. I know it's late. We had heard a friend of ours talk about this. He's seen it on that Antiques Roadshow. You ever seen that where all these people bring something, they'll set it there on a little desk, and they're waiting for a little Peabody guy to walk by? Oh, that's a great piece right there. This lady, she had a vase sitting there, you know, and she was waiting patiently, and she sees him. He's like, he's coming my way. And he walks over there, and he looks, and he goes, oh, that's a fine piece, ma'am. He says, is it okay if I touch it? She goes, oh, yes, please do. And he picks it up, and he's looking at it like that. And, oh, wow, this is nice. And he looks, and he goes, oh, yeah, the potter, I know that name. And she goes, really? You know, and he shows her there where he had put his little initials in the bottom of it, and he knew who it was. And finally it came down to, what is it worth? And the guy said, well, ma'am, this vase right here, a beautiful work, said it's probably worth about $5,000. She's like, oh, wow. You know, and he's looking at it, and he goes, oh, wait a minute. That's always me.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 It's a satellite, not a roadrunner. He looks at it and goes, oh, no, it's got a crack in it. And he looks and he flips the little thing over and he goes, oh, now, wait a minute. So this crack's been repaired. And he's looking at it real close. He's got a little magnet. He goes, oh. She goes, what? And he says, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. Said, it's not worth $5,000. Said, it's probably worth $15,000. She's like, really? Why? He said, see this crack here? Said, it's been repaired. Said, but it's been repaired by the potter. So the master repaired it, and he signed it.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you what, folks, us that are here that are trying to follow the will of God, do you know what God uses? Cracked pots.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And you know what he'll do? He'll take that and he'll repair it. He'll make it again, and he'll sign it. He'll put his signature there. And, oh, we're nothing but nothing. But, oh, when the touch of the master's hand, amen, when you get into God's will, there ain't nothing like it.
Amen.
Nothing like it. Wouldn't you want to follow God's will? As a young person sitting here, wouldn't you want to step out?
Well, yeah.
Be like old Stan and say, God, I want to live for you. When we ever see that again.
Yeah.
Amen. If you've never been saved, never been washed in the blood, going to heaven when you die, if you've never been that, why don't you come tonight? That's the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Jesse, come sing something.